It's the weekend, and you have financial questions that need answering. That can only mean one thing. It's time for Jill on Money, the show that takes the mystery out of your finances. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome to Jill on Money. It's so exciting. It's tax filing deadline countdown. If you're listening to this show and you have not started your taxes, well, the good news is you do have till April 18th. The bad news is it's going to be a really crappy weekend for you because it takes time. Sorry. I mean, it shouldn't be terrible if you're like an easy filer, but oof, if you got to start assembling everything right now, I don't know. You spared yourself from all that worry weeks and weeks and weeks ago, but now you got to do it. So good luck with that. All right. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger. And if you want to reach us, because we love to hear from you, you give us a call, 855-411-JILL. You can also email us, askjill@jillonmoney.com. And check out our podcast, Better Off. Get it on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. We always like to start the show with a caller. It's Pat, who's on the line from Virginia. Hi, Pat. Welcome to Jill on Money. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. I've never done this before.
Really? Is it okay? So far, so good, yeah. Right?
Everything's great. Are you related to the other lady with your last name?
Which other lady?
The lady who gives personal advice. She's a psychiatrist?
Oh, Dr. Laura? No. Let me tell you, that is a very funny thing. However, she spells her name slightly differently, and I'm a lot nicer than her. There's your big differential. She's a little mean.
But you're both smart.
I don't know about that. I can't vouch for her smarts, but I can tell you right now, we're not related. But I am here to give you financial advice. What can I do for you?
Okay. I've been contributing to my regular 401 at work for 16 years.
Okay.
And I got 540 in there.
Great.
And I also have a Roth IRA with 160 in there.
Okay.
So I have a small pension at my job, and then there'll be Social Security. And I'm starting to worry that my income in retirement, assuming there's no catastrophe, could be more than it is now.
Oh, that's wild.
My company is offering a Roth 401, but I just don't. Right now, I put the full $24,000 in the regular 401.
Yep.
And I just don't think I can put the full $24,000 in the Roth.
Hold on a second. How old are you?
I'm 52.
Well, who cares? Why don't you just put $24,000 in the Roth 401k?
Well, my salary, I only earn about $70,000.
No, I'm just saying instead of the traditional. You say you're putting $24,000 into the traditional 401k.
Yeah, well, but to put $24,000 in the Roth would cost me $36,000.
Yeah, so what?
You pay the
You said your tax bracket could go up in the future.
Yeah, I know.
Wait a second. Let's just talk about this for a second. Let's walk you through this. First of all, the Roth is phenomenal because the money that you put in is going to go tax-free, and you already have all this money that's sitting in the tax-deferred account, which, by the way, you're going to have to take out when you're 70 and a half, as you realize. And, right. You know, why not beef up the Roth assets, which are essentially, you know what your tax liability is. You're done. And are you married or single?
Single.
You're single?
I've got my ducks all lined up in a row. I'm in really good shape. No one would ever guess it, given the work that I do.
Really? Why? What do you do?
I move airplanes for one of the major airlines.
Really?
On the ground.
Really?
I don't fly them. Yeah. So I studied finance, but I have a job that requires no education.
Mm-hmm.
And but I've done really well for myself.
Yeah, I mean, look, you make $70,000 a year. I think if you're worried like, oh, I don't want to pay the tax on this, I don't know. I feel like if you really wanted to split the difference, you could do half and half. You could put 12 in the traditional 401k and 12 in the other. But to me, I love the idea that, first of all, if you're 50 and you consider that, you know, your life expectancy is probably 80-something, 30 years where you have tax-free growth inside of the current Roth and the new Roth 401k, I think that's fantastic. You are going to have to take the money out at some time, at some point, for the traditional 401k. And as you say, you don't know where tax rates are going to go. And, you know, I just talked to my friend Ed Slott, who's like the IRA expert and CPA. And he says that the more people should be using the Roth 401k, because what they don't realize is that that money already having been taxed is going to be so much more powerful than anything else. And, you know, look, I've always questioned whether the Roth is going to continue. It's here. It's now. The more money you put in today before they figure out that that's too good a deal for us, the better. So I think I really would believe that you're far better off getting more money into that Roth asset and not having to worry about a debilitating amount of money coming out and adding to your tax burden as you retire. So can you live with that? I mean, yeah, you're right. Yes. You got to put more money away.
One more question.
Yep.
My total retirement, all my, besides my house, all my assets are 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all invested in stock, blue chip stocks.
Okay.
What do you think that'll be worth in 10 or 15 years? Is there any way?
Yeah, I'll give you a guess. You know, usually, you know, I'm going to guess $2.5 million. How about that? That's a good guess.
Good.
That's not bad. Dude, that's amazing. Like,
yeah.
You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. How you're single with all this money, I don't know, but you've maintained it.
I've had relationships. Unfortunately, I like people who they're not real savvy with their money, but they're really
cute.
TLC. You know?
Pat, good luck. Start using that Roth 401k, and thanks for calling. I'm going to Mark, we have got to start a dating service here. Listen to this guy. He's 52 years old. He's got $1.2 million. Single. Oh, Mark says the common denominator is no kids. I don't know about that. There's plenty of people who call who have gathered a lot of assets who have kids. They just, I don't know. Don't be all negative about the kid thing. I want to be the aunt to your children. You know, I want to be, that's Aunt Jill. Aunt Jill will have a nice role in their lives. I'll take them to Broadway shows. I'll take them to Jets games. Mark's a Jets hater. How about Mets games? You could live with that. We'll go to Islander Ranger games together. We'll see who wins out. All right. You're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. When we return, more of your questions. We'll be right back.
Annuities, IRAs, 401ks, she covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here, it's very easy, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. So easy. Fantastic. Follow us on Twitter. Mark's totally, like, stepping it up on the whole social platform stuff. Are we still doing the Instagram thing or not? A little bit? I can't get into this. I'm starting to sound like my mother. I feel a little old. Like, oh, do I have to do that too? All right. Anyway, this is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life And I am delighted that you are hanging around with us, spending some time. If you've missed any part of the program, please go to our website, jillonmoney.com, and you can listen to this show, you can listen to past shows, whatever. But, you know, catch up. All right? Let's go and talk to John. He is calling from Georgia. Hello, John. Welcome to Jill on Money. What can I do for you, sir?
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just found your website. Awesome.
Cool.
I have a couple different things at work, and I'm looking at retirement within the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
I have a pension. I have an annuity that's a state-run annuity.
Yep.
And then I have this little 457 plan, mm-hmm. which 6 or 7 or 8 years ago, I discovered you could set up a little TD Ameritrade account within the plan.
So, oh, sweet.
Me being rather naive about it, I was an econ major 30-some years ago, but I just started dabbling in a few stocks, the things that I understood. I was at Home Depot every weekend, so I thought that was a safe bet, and it turns out it was a really good bet.
Fabulous.
But now I'm coming up to the point where I'll be wanting to perhaps cash some of that out.
Mm-hmm.
Really not sure how to do any of that.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about some of the basics. First of all, how old are you?
56.
56. And when you retire, tell me what your pension amount will be.
Well, I think around $6,000 a month. I have an ex that has a quadro against it for 22%. So I'm not sure how that will play out.
Okay, whatever. So the ex is going to get 22% of it. So the quadro, by the way, I like how, you know, only people who've gone through divorce are familiar with that particular little abbreviation. It's a qualified domestic relations order. Now, you know, I've been through a divorce also. And so she's going to get about a fifth of the $6,000. So women, will the pension alone be enough for you to live on?
Oh, probably. I have another annuity that's a state-run annuity that will be, at that time, probably $650 or $700 a month.
Okay. And then how much money's in the 457 in the TD Ameritrade account?
Right now, about $75.
Okay. And what else is going on in your financial life? So, you know, X gets 22% of the pension. The annuity starts paying out. You've got this account. Do you have some safe money, like just a boring checking savings account?
Well, I did until I did my taxes. So this year's not going to be good.
Okay. And so what will be left in that account? Will you need to replenish that?
Oh, yeah. I'll have to. I work second jobs.
Okay. All right.
So I'll replenish that this year.
Okay.
I'm not too worried about that.
Any debt that's outstanding?
Yeah, I have about 10 left on the against the deferred comp, against the 457 plan. I had borrowed 18 for a house down payment, and I have about 10 left on that.
All right, but that'll get paid out. That's easy. And yeah. How about the house? Tell me, how much is the house worth?
Right now, I think it's worth about $375, and I owe about $250.
Great. That's great. Okay. And when you retire in a couple of years, are you going to keep making some money doing other stuff?
I really hope so. It might be a complete job change for me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like building furniture, and I'm just ramping that up right now. I don't think it'll bring in near the income, but it'll be fun.
Okay. But, I mean, that's kind of cool. So it sounds to me like you know, in the next couple of years, what I would say is this. When you're looking at the accounts, you know the pension is set. The annuity will just turn on. You'll have a stream of income. The extra money from the furniture-making business, all of this is just going to go to support you. So really, the only issue that you will have is what happens with that TD Ameritrade account. And what will happen is that you can do one of two things. You probably, I mean, I don't know if your employer is going to let you do this, but I'm guessing they'll let you just keep it there. But the alternative is you take the money from the 457 and you roll it over into an IRA rollover account. Just do it right at TD. You literally have to, that's it, right? And
right.
The only issue is that when you do that direct rollover, what happens is you sell all the stuff that's in there and you're going to have to buy it back when it goes into the IRA rollover.
Ah.
And there's not a tax event because you're going to go from sort of this one tax-deferred vehicle into another tax-deferred vehicle. But when you do a rollover, it usually is what's called a tape-to-tape transfer, and the money goes in as cash. Now, if you, again, path of least resistance, and you could probably ask your employer now, hey, when we retire, can we just keep the 457 account open? You can ask that question. And if you can, then you don't have to do anything with it. You can just leave it there. You just can't contribute to it.
Now, there's another tax hit until you start making withdrawals, right?
Correct. And so whether it is in a 457 or a rollover IRA, there's no tax hit until the money comes out. But that's it. And the only other piece of that is that you clearly will have paid down the loan. So that's that'll be easy. But that you can't make new contributions into the account until, you know, because you have retired.
Well, that account may look a lot like a swimming pool later.
That's right. Absolutely. I mean, there's no, again, you know, you, it's good to have a slush fund. And if you are wrong in that you say, hey, I actually am living on a lot less money, then you just, all you would do is, you know, you can just sort of keep a slush fund together of money that's outside of retirement, which is not the worst thing in the world either.
Well, I don't want to run out of money, obviously, but I don't want to make a misstep that's going to give me a 20 or 30 or better percent tax hit either.
Yeah.
Is there a way to roll this into a Roth now so it's not so hard later?
Well, here's the problem. But I wouldn't do that now. The way that you would do that, and it's an interesting idea, is that you wait until you retire. You don't necessarily draw the pension immediately.
Mm-hmm.
You wait. And maybe you stockpile some cash. You convert the 457. You go from a 457, you go into an IRA rollover, and then you convert it into a Roth. And you can convert it a little bit at a time. I mean, you can start the pension, but you could start converting the 457 from the rollover. You can convert a little bit at a time when your income is lower. So you really want to wait till you're at the lowest possible tax bracket to convert to a Roth. And because as soon as you convert, the tax is due. So you got to be careful. You got to know that you have the money in the bank to pay the tax on the conversion. And that's the one little blip in it.
Okay. So the tax that you would pay is just on the amount that you're converting? Or
correct. Correct.
So I'm so glad I called you.
I'm so glad you did also. So go out and prosper and go out there and figure out before you retire. This is a great time to do this. You may also be, you know, as you said, you're going to replenish your account. Make sure that emergency reserve is replenished. You're going to pay off the loan. And maybe what you do in advance of actual retirement is that you say, hey, you know what? I'm going to keep a little extra cash on hand. I'm going to build up my cash reserves even beyond the emergency reserves so that I can start converting that TD Ameritrade 457 account into a Roth IRA. So that is something I would consider. Thanks so much for calling, John. Great to talk to you. You're listening to Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime. 855-411-JILL or AskJill@JillOnMoney.com.
Just because you find yourself.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address, AskJill@JillOnMoney.com. Hey, don't forget, if you miss any part of the program, just go to the website, JillOnMoney.com, click on the radio link, and you can catch last few shows. I guess all the shows are there. I'm not sure. No, all the shows are not there. I don't know. I'm not sure they are. I don't think they are. Anyway, and if you can't get enough Mark and Jill, do subscribe to our podcast, Better Off. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, anywhere else you find your favorite podcast. A friend of mine was telling me something funny. She was like, you know, what would be great is if you could have like your top podcasts that you like, because she said that she finds it's hard to discover new ones. And so I thought that I might give you a little bit of a quickie on podcasts. And by the way, it's not that podcasts, someone said to me, like, I don't get it. Like, what's so good about podcasts? It's amazeballs, because you can go onto any of these sites, like, you know, SoundCloud or Stitcher or iTunes, and you can just click on something that's totally interesting to you and listen to it whenever you want. Listening on demand. So someone did actually, so my friend Lisa said, recommend other financial podcasts that you like. So without further ado, I thought that I would actually make that happen. Mark, are you listening to other financial podcasts or not? He just likes to dip in. Okay, I like one from, there are actually two different ones that I love from NPR. One's called Planet Money. Great storytelling. And the other is Hidden Brain, which is social science. It's not really financial, but it does touch on economics. I find that fascinating. For you wonks out there, Slate Money. I love it. I think it's so great. Really terrific. And so that's it. That's enough for now. You don't need any more than that. Three is good. All right? So try those out. Try it out. Planet Money, Hidden Brain, and Slate Money. In addition to, of course, Better Off. All right. Let me answer a couple of questions here. We've got, who is this? Paul, who says he is recently retired. He's got $825,000 in retirement savings. Oh, my God. He's 52. What? How do you retire at 52? That doesn't. All right. OK. Wait. He's 52. My wife still works. Well, that's why. I was told by my investment company that I should only expect 5% growth for the next 10 years on my money. I'm a 70-30 stock bond mix. Now, I'm not against working part-time, but would rather not. I'm debt-free. Do you think I will get enough growth to have that $1 million for retirement? Do you need $1 million for retirement? I don't know. I mean, you'll get it, but I don't know when. How about that? Isn't that the more interesting question? So let's just say that in 10 years that, you know, you do have $1 million. What's more interesting to me is that the million can't generate as much money as you think it can. That's why I find that's the part that's really kind of wild, because we have this thing called a withdrawal rate, meaning what can you pull out of that account that you can count on so that you don't blow through the account. And that withdrawal rate, you know, I don't know, you can use it anywhere as low as 2.5% up to 4%. So let's do 3% to be conservative. So in other words, even if you have $1 million in 10 years, which you'll have probably, so you get 30 grand out of that. That's it. I mean, if that's enough for you, that's great. But if you are debt-free, if your spouse makes a ton of money and they don't need this money, those are all other questions. But, you know, I think that what I think is really important here is twofold. One, don't expect too much growth. I agree with that. In the next 10 years, I think we're sort of in lower growth mode, which we, you know, the past 10 years since the financial, let's say 8 years since the financial crisis have been pretty fabulous. But number two, when you get to the place where you have that nest egg and you're ready to have it create a stream of income, don't count on too much money. You know, you don't know. You don't know. So I think 2.5%, 3%, 3% is really my number. A lot of financial planners actually say that you should be doing something a little more dynamic, meaning that when the markets are strong, you know, you can pull up to 3.5%. But when the markets are weak, that you pull out less money. I think that's hard for a lot of people to think about that, because they live their lives to, you know, in a slightly different way. They want consistency. They want to know what the number is. But it does stand to reason that if you are trying like the Dickens to keep your expenses in line, that in a bad year, the less money you pull out, the better it's going to be, right? So I think that's a good thing to consider. All right. Ah, you still nursing that coffee, huh, Mark? It's iced coffee now, is right. We're getting into iced coffee season. You're not an iced coffee drinker, or you are? Not so much. Yeah, on a hot day. I myself love a little iced coffee. We're not there yet. We're still in horrible spring. I hate spring. Cold, damp. It's my least favorite season. What about you, Mark? Yeah. Oh, you hate summer? He doesn't like humidity. Oh, that's why you liked Arizona so much. Yeah, dry. It's 120 degrees. Like, oh, it's a dry heat. Yes, except you're in an oven. It's a dry oven. Anyway, if you've got a financial question, we'd like to hear from you. Our phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Hey, follow us on Twitter @JillOnMoney. And yeah, just remember that the podcast is rocking and rolling. It's similar to the radio show. It's just a slightly different thing. It's got a little different feel to it. Do you think I'm more relaxed on the radio show? You think? Yeah, it's shorter. People like the little condensed version. And there are some people who don't, you know, they really don't have access to the radio show. They live in different markets and those crazy markets that aren't carrying us. Whichever ones those are, those three. Anyway, we want to hear from you. We always want to hear from you. 855-411-JILL. When we return, more of your questions, and we'll be right back.
Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call anytime, day or night, 855-411-JILL.
You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, we'd love to hear from you. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. When you do send us an email, be sure to give us a bunch of details so I can answer your question, you know, and be smart about it. That's helpful. And to that end, Joe writes, my wife and I are 61 and 62 years old, and we're planning on retiring in the next 6 to 12 months. I have an employer pension, which I plan on taking at age 66. My wife has a TIAA annuity, and she plans on taking that when she reaches 66. We'll both plan on collecting Social Security at our full Social Security retirement age. So the income stream is interesting. So Social Security plus pensions at age 66 will be around $75,000, which is awesome. That's fantastic. There's one little issue, and that is that Joe and his wife actually need $120,000 to live on. Okay. But you got a big chunk of that right there. So that's good. That's very good. Okay. So remember that, gang. We need $45,000 a year to make up the gap. Okay. Joe and his wife own two homes, a third, which is a new 31-foot bus-style Winnebago motorhome. Are you kidding me? Those things scare me. Those things are massive. No debt. $55,000. There is debt. Let me say this. Small debt. $55,000 home equity line of credit. Two grown independent children. Those are my favorite types. Here's the question. We have about $2.4 million in a pre-tax IRA and 401k. That's awesome. Fantastic. So just think about this for a second, guys. So remember I said to you, you know, bookmark that $45,000 that he needs? So he's got $2.4 million. Gonna have to pay tax on that. But with that big chunk of money, the $45,000 is a piece of cake. No worries. Okay? Now, here's the deal. We plan on withdrawing the pre-tax savings first, in the first 4 to 5 years after employment. So they're going to be able to have that money, right? Now, here's the nut of Joe's question. My concern is about the minimum required distributions, which is, you know, going to kick in. When you're 70 and a half, you must take distributions, right? That's the deal. We're not eligible for Roth IRAs. Any ideas on how to minimize our minimum required distribution and our tax liability? Joe, this is a first world type of problem to have. First of all, big kudos to you and your wife because you've done an amazing job of saving. That's great. So the next question becomes, what do you do about the income you have? Well, there's nothing to do about it. You have it. You will be making $75,000 a year. Today's dollars. I don't know if you have a COLA or not on your pension, but that's a known fact, and you can't make it go away. And I'm not, you know, I think that there maybe would be some people who say, oh, you should try to convert some of the pre-tax money, you know, into a Roth. I don't even think you should. What I think you should really do is try to dribble out your minimum required distributions. There's not a great way to actually minimize that at all because they have to happen and it's based on your taxable income. I guess the only way that you might change it is if tax rates change and there's a year where you say at that time, well, wow, we're in a lower tax rate because the tax bracket went down and 75 is only, you know, 20% tax, maybe. But what I think you have to recognize is you have done an amazing job and you're going to have to take these distributions out and you're going to have to pay tax on it. Thank God, though, you've got a ton of money saved and you will be able to create the $45,000 a year. So the answer to your question is no ideas. There aren't any good ideas. The best thing to remember is this is exactly what happens when you save in a pre-tax account. You have to pay the tax at some point. And, you know, if possible, what you would do is you would wait to actually pull any money out of the pre-tax monies, if you had other money on the side, and live on that and delay it as long as possible. But I even don't want to make you crazy with that. I mean, you just have to be clear that this is what your money has been earmarked to do. Don't drive yourself crazy. Let it be. Listen to your inner self telling you, oh my God, I have to figure this out. Here's the answer. You ready? You don't have to do much. You really don't. You're in great shape. Go in your Winnebago, drive across the country, go crazy, have fun. How's that? Yeah, how much do you think it takes to fill up the tank on a 31-foot Winnebago? 80 gallons is what it is? You might have to take an extra distribution out just to fill up that tank every so often. Thanks for writing, Joe. Good luck. You're in great shape. You're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. Okay, we got an email from Howard, who is a physician's assistant. He makes $120,000 a year. His wife makes $40,000. Their home's going to be paid off in 6 months. He's got $700,000 spread out between three different brokerage companies due to different employers and all that. He says, I'm worried about having enough to retire on in a few years. And if the stock market were to fall, so does my retirement. We have a second home. It's worth about $200,000. We rent it out. So his question, should I diversify more or stay in stocks and mutual funds? Well, first of all, yes, of course, you're 59 years old. You should have a diversified portfolio. That's it. Absolutely. Stocks, bonds, real estate, cash, a diversified portfolio. Small stocks, big stocks. U.S. stocks, international stocks. Yes, you need to be properly diversified, and you should not have 100% of your money in stocks, okay? I mean stocks or stock mutual funds. So that's number one. Two, should I combine the three different accounts into one for simplicity? Yes, absolutely. Yes. Find one place that you like, consolidate, easier to manage. Three, should I have a certain percentage in cash? Well, you should have enough money in cash as your regular emergency reserve fund. As you approach retirement, I'd love you to have 1 to 2 years of your expenses in an emergency reserve fund. Then within the portfolio, I would at least have 5% in cash. That's what I would at least have. And four, I'd like to retire, slow down. I'm good in health. Any ideas how to keep my money growing? Yes. Don't muck around with it too much, Howard. Keep in a diversified portfolio, and just remember, whatever that, if that 700 is $1 million in, 5-7 years, that $1 million should generate about 30 grand a year for you. That's it. Do not go invade that account too soon. That's a huge issue. All right. Thank you for writing. Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Email us, askjill@jillonmoney.com. When we come back, we're going into the interview. Stay tuned.